course, you recognize that as we read from Luke chapter 15, we were reading part of this part of one of the most beloved parables, stories that Jesus told in the Bible, the story parable of the prodigal son. In this story that Jesus told, the father represents God, and the prodigal, every sinner who wanders away from God, who spends time in that far country, who God longs for them to come back, who, if they will come back, God will welcome them and make them part of his family. This morning, I want to speak on the subject, and the title of my message is Coming Home. Coming Home. I had a different message planned for today, but sort of the last minute, Thursday or Friday, and that's the last minute to a preacher when the Lord changes his sermon on a Thursday or Friday. But at the last minute, God changed my message, and so we look at this passage. I was going to check and see how many times I preached from the prodigal son, but I didn't have time. I know it's easily been 50 or 60 times over the years that we've been together. But coming home, you know, coming home implies that you left in the first place. And we find the leaving in this story in verse 13, where the Bible says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Ask the question, why did he leave? Why did he leave home? Why did he leave his dad? I think the answer is pretty simple. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He was tired of obeying his father. He was tired of living his life trying to please his father. And let me just say this. If there's any one person here today that wants to do what you want to do, if in your heart you want to do what you want to do, you have the beginning of sin in your heart. Now, what you may want to do may be good. What you may want to do may be a righteous thing. It doesn't matter. If you say in your heart, "I don't care what God wants me to do, I want to do what I want to do," you have in your heart the very essence and substance of sin, wanting your own way, wanting to do what you want to do. You see, there's different kind of sinners. There's different kind of sins. I mean, some sins are what we would consider terrible sins. Some sins are not so bad. Some sins are, we might put in the category of refined sin, and other sin we'd put in the category of vulgar sin. But it doesn't matter. In its basic form, every sin comes down to a person doing what they want to do. I mean, I don't need much convincing that every little child is born with a sin nature. Every little child, I mean, from the time they're a baby until the time they're a teenager, and probably on beyond that, we have a streak in us, and it's our old nature that says, "I don't care what mom and dad say. I don't care what grandpa and grandma say. I don't even care what God says. There are some things I'm going to do because I want to do them." And that's the heart and that's the root of every sin, wanting our own way, wanting to do what we want to do. I want you to notice from that verse that we read, verse 13, that the prodigal, once he got his part of the inheritance, didn't leave home immediately. The Bible says after a few days, he left. The same with sinners. Sinners don't end up in the far country immediately. It takes them a while. I've known people that were brought up in church. I've known people that from the time they were a little baby, they were in church, but they got old enough to make their own decisions. And that root of sin got in their heart where they said, "I want to do what I want to do. Doesn't matter what dad and mom want me to do. Doesn't even matter what God wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do." And so they still come to church for a while. They still read the Bible every now and then. They still pray when it's convenient. But pretty soon, they start listening to the world that says, "There is no God, there is no Christ, there is no inspired Bible." And they go into that far country where they themselves, by their actions, say, "There is no God." So let me ask you this morning, those of you that are away from God, where are you on that journey? Are you just starting out? Are you just starting out? Are you some way halfway? Are you already in that far country? I want to tell you something this morning. The far country is no place to live. That young man took all his inheritance and he went to that far country. And while when he first got there, he had a good time. I mean, as long as he had money, he had fun and he had friends. I mean, he enjoyed himself. The Bible teaches us that there is pleasure in sin. But in the same verse that it says there's pleasure in sin, here's what it says. It only lasts for a little while. You see, Satan's smart. He doesn't fish with an empty hook. When Satan fishes for men, he puts the bait of pleasure on that hook. And sin looks good. And for a while, sin feels good. And for a while, you can have fun in sin. But then just like any fisherman, Satan jerks back that line, and the bait of pleasure always has a hook in it. Always does. And that hook, that leads to want. It leads to want. The Bible says, verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Your soul and my soul is so big and so vast and so large and so glorious, only God can fill it. Only he can fill our souls. I mean, without God in your life, you're starving. Without God in your life, you're barren. Without God in your life, there's a void. There's a pit that regardless of what things of the world you try to put there, you cannot satisfy that desire that God puts in every person for a relationship with him. You are in want. Listen, you may be here this morning. You're apart from God. You may have a lot of money in the bank. You may drive an expensive car. You may have all the toys that the world says, hey, in order to be happy, you got to have these toys. But if you don't have a relationship with God and you're honest this morning, you have to say, preacher, there's something missing in my life. I have everything that the world says is important. I have everything that the world says will make me happy. But deep down, I'm not happy. There's something missing. And what's missing in your life, if you're like that this morning, is a relationship with your Creator. It's a relationship with the one that made you. It's a relationship with one that wants you to be part of his family. A relationship with God. And so when his money ran out, his friends left. He had no more fun. He went into a famine and was in want. But the want turned into something else. It turned into slavery and degradation. In verse 15 and 16, and he went out and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When Jesus told this parable, he was speaking to Jews. There was nothing lower to a Jew than a swine herder. Nothing lower to a Jew than somebody that took care of pigs. God gives us a choice. He gives a choice to every person. You can either be his child or you can tend pigs for the devil. You say, preacher, that's pretty crass. I have more choices than that. No, you don't, not when it comes right down to it. You can either be a child of God or you can be a swine herder for Satan. Amen. That's your choices. I know people say, no, I'm going to do what I want to want. I want to do what I want to do. No person can do what they want to do unless you want what God wants you to do. Because you'll either do what God wants you to do or you'll either do what Satan wants you to do. And you say, well, I'm going to make my own decision. Ha, ha, ha. Satan's got you right where he wants you. Yeah, and he'll stoke that feeling. Yeah, go ahead. You deserve to do what you want to do. You have freedom. You have self-will. That's the way God made you. Just go ahead and do what you want to do. And I guarantee you, if you wake up and realize like this young man did, you'll find yourself doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. So you can be a child of God, or you can tend pigs for the devil. And listen, sin always takes to a place that you don't want to go. It always keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it always costs you more than you want to pay. That's the way sin works. Now, all that by way of introduction. Now we come to our text. Now we come to the best part of the story. Coming home. Verses 17 and 18, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father." The prodigal began to think. He began to think. That's where salvation begins. In thinking. Some people say that Christianity is blind faith. No. Christianity takes faith, but it's a rational faith. It's a faith that makes sense. He began to think, hey, back home, every one of my father's servants had plenty to eat. In fact, they not only had plenty to eat, they had leftover. They had leftovers at the end of the meal. Here I am, I'm starving to death. I don't have anything to eat. He began to think. He began to think about his father's servants. He began to think about himself. If you're apart from God this morning, I encourage you to think. I encourage you to think about being a child of God. I encourage you to think about all the benefits and blessings that entails. I encourage you to think about being a child of the King. I encourage you to think about all the future that awaits every one that is a child of the King. Think about that. And then compare that to what it means to keep swine for Satan. You compare that to the life that you not only have now. You say, oh, I'm enjoying my life. Yeah, sin for a while is a pleasure. But there's always a hook in that bait. Sooner or later, Satan's going to pull the line. He's gonna start reeling you in, and you're gonna suffer want. You're gonna realize that there's something that's in your life that's not satisfied, that can't be satisfied with the things of the world. He's gonna make you a slave of sin. You need to think about that. You need to think about the destination that awaits you apart from God. Listen, hell is real. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's a literal place. The bottomless pit where the fire is not quenched, and every person that decides to turn against God and say, I want to do what I want to do, is going to end up in that place called hell. Think about it this morning, just like this young man did. You get to choose. You get to choose. You can either be, you can choose the devil and walk away from God, and only a fool makes that choice. The Bible says the fool says there is no God. And that's what you do when you choose to walk away from God and say, no, I want to run my own life. I want to do what I want to do. And you say, preacher, you shouldn't call people a fool. I'm not calling you a fool. God's calling you a fool. The Bible's calling you a fool. Here's the sad thing. Most people won't think about that. They won't think about what it is to be a child of God. They won't think about what it is to serve Satan and keep pigs from him. They think, well, if I don't think about it, I won't have to face it. Listen, if you don't think about it, one day you're going to wake up in hell and you're going to realize you missed the most precious thing that God offers to us. Salvation and heaven. So think about it this morning. Think about what it means to be a child of God. Think about what it means to serve the devil. That's what this young man did. But he didn't stop with thinking. His thoughts turned into resolution. He said, I will arise and go to my father. It's not enough to think. You have to resolve. There are people who have thought a lot about what it means to be a Christian and what it means to not be a Christian. They thought about it a lot, the life that they have on this earth in Christ and the life that they have without him. They've thought a lot about what eternity holds. They've thought about hell and they've thought about heaven. but they never made the resolve to come to God. They never made the resolve to come to Christ. They know what to do. They know the consequences of their choice, but they never choose to do it. This morning, if you've never come to God, I encourage you to think. You think about what it means to be a Christian. You think about what it means to belong to the devil. You think about the future that awaits you. And then you resolve in your heart and your mind, I'm going to come to God. I'm going to come to Christ. And you come just like this prodigal son did. You come with a confession on your lips. Father, I have sinned. God will never turn away a sinner. Doesn't matter how bad your sin is. God will never turn away a sinner that comes with a confession on his lips. Father, I have sinned. That's what this young man did. He resolved, and in verse 20, it records his resolution turning into action. And he arose and came to his father. He turned his back on the husk that he desired to eat, on the hogs and on the hunger. And he turned his heart toward home. You know the rest of the story. Dad, as he had done often, had his eyes fixed on the road that his younger son had left on. I wonder how many times a day Dad went out to the window or stood on the porch and looked toward that road, hoping that one day he would see his son come back on the same road that he left. And so this day was like hundreds of days that went before it. Dad was standing out there looking, and way down in the distance, he sees a speck of movement. Something walking that road heading his direction. As it got larger and closer, he knew it was a person. As it got closer and closer, he said to himself, that person's nothing like the boy that left my home. No longer has that bright glow of youth on his face. No longer that quick step in his walk. He saw a person that was prematurely old, sunken cheeks, emaciated form from hunger, clothed in rags, sore-footed, limping slowly along. But through all the changes that had transpired in the physical appearance of his son, that dad recognized him. And he didn't wait. He didn't wait. The Bible says that while he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The Bible says that as his dad approached, the young man started to confess his sin, but his father wouldn't hear it. He hugged him and kissed him, and he called the servants and, hey, go get a robe. Go get a ring. Go get some shoes. Kill the calf, the fatted calf, the one we've been saving to have a celebration with. This my son that was dead is alive. This my son that was gone has come home. I want to tell you this morning, that's what God will do for every sinner. Amen. All you have to do is repent and turn toward him. And he'll come running. You see, God's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to tend swine for the devil. He wants every single person to be saved and be part of his family. And so you turn around and you take that first step toward God, and he'll come running. He'll come running. I mean, you may not be able to physically feel his arms around you and his lips as he gives you a kiss, but that's what he'll do. He'll come and embrace you. He'll come and forgive you. He'll come and make you a son in his family. We may not get to eat it, but the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. I wonder if they kill the fatted calf in heaven and say, we're going to have a party tonight because somebody else got saved. Amen. Somebody else got saved. Come home. Come home. Let me tell you what God used to change my message. I read a story about a young lady, 19, 20 years old, that decided to leave home. So she went into the big city. And for a while, she wrote letters to her mom, told her what she was doing, and the letters got further and farther apart, and pretty soon the letters quit coming altogether. And so the mom was fearful of what had happened to her daughter, and so she went into the city, and she looked up a missionary that worked in that city and went to him. He worked in the rough part of the city, the dark side of the city, and she said, "My daughter is here somewhere. Can you help me find her?" And the missionary says, "I think I can if you'll do exactly what I say." And the mom says, "I'll do exactly what you say because I want to get my daughter back." He said, "I want you to go to a photographer and I want you to get your picture taken. I want you to blow it up so it's big pictures and I want you to make 100 copies of them." She said, "Okay." So a couple hours later, she came back with 100 big pictures of her face. He said, "I want you to sit down at that table and on every picture, in your own handwriting, I want you to write two words. Come home. Come home." She sat down at the table, and in her own handwriting on every one of those 100 pictures, she wrote those two words, "Come home." He said, "Now I want your permission. I'm going to take these pictures. I'm going to go into every bar. I'm going to go into every nightclub. I'm going to go into every den of ill repute. I'm going to go into every wicked place that I know in this part of town, and I'm going to hang your picture." This lady was a Christian lady. She was pure in her deportment. And I'm sure it was hard to agree to have her picture hang in all these places of evil. But she says, "If that's what it takes to get my daughter back, go ahead." He said, "Okay, I'm going to do it. You go home and wait." And so he went to 100 different places of wickedness in that city, hung that mother's picture with those two words at the bottom. A few days later, there were a group of young people that came into one of the nightclubs. In that group was this mother's daughter. She looked across the room and saw that picture, and it looked familiar. She walked over to it, saw in her mother's own handwriting the two words, "Come home." And she knew it was for her. Story goes, supposedly a true story. Story goes, she walked out of that nightclub, went immediately to the bus station, bought a bus ticket, and within a couple of hours, her mother's arms were wrapped around her. Amen. That's what God did for us in Luke chapter 15. He put a picture up with two words, "Come home. Come home." Now, praise God, most of us have taken us, God, on that invitation. We're home because we've come to Christ. But if you're here this morning and you're honest, there's something in your life that can't be satisfied by this world. You have a hunger. You have a want. And if you're not careful, that want's going to turn into slavery and you're going to be a slave of sin before you know it. You're going to be in that far country. Maybe you're already there. I have a good message for you this morning. You can still come home. Amen. You can still come home. God wants you to come home. Will you come home? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the precious love that you have for mankind. A love that was so big that even when we were sinners and deserved none of it, you sent your Son to die for our sins. Oh, what love. What love. I can't understand how any person can resist it. And I pray for that one that might be here this morning that has never come and said, like the prodigal son did, "I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Oh, I need a Savior." And let Jesus forgive them and pay for their sin. I pray for every person like that that's here this morning, that they would think and they would resolve and they would come to Christ. I pray for the Christians that are here Even after we get saved, sometimes we have that same attitude. Well, I want to do what I want to do. Father, help us to see that's sin. Oh, that's sin. Help us to submit our will to yours, just like Jesus did. Not my will, but thy will be done. And if even if we're here as Christians this morning and we have that sin of self-desire in our hearts, I pray that we would come just get rid of it. So, Father, I pray you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Work in our hearts. Do in our hearts what only you can do. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.